You can be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we are continuing this evening in this study concerning principles for receiving God's blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, this is actually part 6 or message 6 in this series. I've been debating, as I was sitting there listening to the ladies play, and there's one more. At least one more message that is brewing in my thinking that we need to deal with along these lines. So if you found your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as we begin to read there in verse 6, it won't take long for you to understand what the direction of this evening's message. Please stand with me as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 6. It says this, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Father, once again this evening, we ask that You might be pleased, Lord, to grant us Your Spirit. I understand that I stand before my brothers and sisters in Christ this evening with a great need, Father, of You to enter in and direct and lead, granting Your Spirit in such a way that we will have Your perfect direction, that You would lead and direct in every word, Father, not just what I want to say, but exactly what You want said this evening concerning Your biblical principles of sowing and reaping, our giving and Your giving back. We love You, Lord, so much. Thank You for Jesus. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, may be seated. Last Sunday night, I had shared that we were starting to get down to the issues, some subjects that will separate the serious from the casual Christian. The matter of our stewardship. What do we mean by that? The way we manage our lives and manage our resources, or the stewardship then, the management then of our substance, unfortunately, can stir up a fuss in a great many, I'll just say, professing believers, professing Christians. Biblical managing and use of our resources is a complete mystery to the lost world. You talk about, and here I am, I'm taking for granted how generous givers you all are. But you talk to the world about what you give to the Lord's work, and they'll start looking at you cross-eyed. They think you're crazy to be giving that kind of money, your hard-earned money, to some church. Well, but that's the way it is. The natural man's heart cannot comprehend how anyone would give a minimum of 10% of their total income to the work of God, to the work of the Lord. You can preach to some people about anything, doesn't matter. You can preach them about anything, but don't tell them they ought to be faithful in their giving to their local church. Then you start, it's like the cat that you're trying to, you know, they talk about the fur on the cat, you know, and sometimes you get the petting your cat the wrong way. Well, you just need to turn the cat around so that you receive that. I personally witnessed people profess to be saved and appear to be growing in the things of the Lord, and then the matter of giving comes up. You mentioned tithing or even faith giving, and man, you can't find them with bloodhounds. They're gone. You've hit a nerve that they're just too sensitive for them. We've been looking in this study, this again, the sixth message in this study, at principles that the Scriptures teach us that we can know God's blessing in our lives. I want to know that, beloved. I want to know and experience God's blessing, and I want you to know too. It's why we're doing this. I want you to know, and I mean that. I want everyone here to know God's fullest, richest, and most complete blessing in their life. I think with every one of these messages, the clear teaching of the Scriptures there. And tonight as well. The Bible makes it clear that the Lord will bless those who generously give to see His work go forward. Now, but with that said, there's a delicate balance that must be maintained. While making the point that fruitful giving will bring bountiful blessing from God, we need to make clear that we do not want to sound like the televangelists that claim that God is bound to give you if you give to Him. There's a difference there. It's a biblical difference. They make giving to God's work into a way to get personally wealthy. You've heard it. I've heard it. We don't want to teach anything that will appeal to man's fleshly nature. That's what they're doing. They're appealing. Hey, if we're honest, we understand that we battle and deal with covetousness without feeding that monster. Some of the gimmicks that I've seen on seen the TV preachers use make the state lottery look mild. The whole thing is just plain shameful. And so, beloved, please understand, we're going to see some principles here tonight that will bring you God's blessing. What they do, what these money preachers do, is take Bible truth and then twist it. They pervert it in such a way to suit their need to get people to do something with their money that I don't believe God intended. With that said, our purpose in this message is to see how God does indeed bless as we do right, and even in this area of how we honor Him with our substance and our resources, as we'll go through this. And if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, plenty of Bible on this subject too. Proverbs chapter 3, we see here that we are to honor God with what we possess, what we have. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, we read this: honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Does that sound like there's blessing when you honor God with what you have? Both your substance and your increase? Sure sounds like it to me. No question that God is promising to bless those who honor Him with the things that they have, both their substance and their increase. So the question, what's our substance? What is our substance? Well, make it real simple. Everything we have. Everything that we have. All of our resources. That would include everything. Our home, our automobiles, our time, our abilities, and our money, our wallet. Are we using everything that God's given us for God's glory? Are we honoring Him with it? Are we honoring the Lord with all those things? That word honor is interesting. The word has the idea of giving something weight. Well, what do we get from that? Well, we get the idea that we are to have to give weight, to give importance in this matter of honoring our God, to honor Him. Obviously, it means to give something or someone, in this case, a place of importance. A place of importance in our lives. Do we give the importance as instructed in our Bible to God with everything we have? We don't need to list those things again. Everything that we have, all our substance. David wrote in the 24th Psalm, "The earth is the Lord." We get that? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What do we get from that? It all belongs to Him. It all belongs to Him, and we're going to see that. The Apostle Paul quotes that verse in his first letter to the Corinthians. We don't need to go there, but in chapter 10 and verse 28 of 1 Corinthians, Paul quotes those very words. Well, what's the conclusion? Who does the earth and everything in it belong to? God. It's His. He created it. Anything we have is just on loan from Him. It's all His. And that certainly includes everything that I have, all my substance, including myself. Is that right? Is that right? What does 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 say to us? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he's going to deal with these issues of giving in his letters to the Corinthians. He says to them, what? He asks them a question. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And then he goes on to say, you are not your own. Right. Do we profess to be Christians, believers? Then we do not belong to ourselves. Verse 20 says, for you are bought with a price. What was the price? The blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You're bought with a price. Therefore, or because of that, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty clear. I need to use everything that I am, everything that I have, for God's glory. Why? It belongs to Him anyway. What about our life? How are we using it? If we belong to Him, if we've been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ, we belong to Him. And with that then, God will bless our substance, what we have, if we honor Him with it. If we honor Him with it, He'll bless. Well then, that's a substance. Proverbs talked about the increase as well. What is our increase? Well, the increase is what we receive along the way. What God is pleased to put into our hands. Whether it be the fruit of the ground, as many of the illustrations that we see even this evening from the Scriptures, whether it be the fruit of the ground or the paycheck we receive on payday, our increase is all that God is pleased to bring to us. Do you see your job as a blessing from God? We should. And we should use our job for His glory and honor as well. As God gives the increase, then what are we to do? Honor Him with it. Honor Him with it. Now, with that then, as we read earlier in Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, verse 10, remember what it said? So, as we honor God with our substance, with our increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, what kind of a society was Israel? What kind of culture was it? It was an agricultural culture, right? They were farmers. They were tended to their flocks and their lands. And so, as the Holy Spirit gives this word to Solomon, It is very natural for him to use the illustration of how God is going to bless their crops and their herds, thy barns and thy possessions that way. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So what do we see? God promises to add his blessing to our labor. Right? Your barns and those and the presses. He promises to add his blessing to our labor as we honor him then with our increase. With our increase as well. We'll look at how he does that a little later as we go along. Now, turn to Malachi chapter 3. You probably knew we'd get there sooner or later. Malachi chapter 3. We need to give God what belongs to him. Right. I've got some very cross-eyed looks through the years as I deal with this point. We need to give God what belongs to him. In Malachi chapter 3, we'll look at a few verses here, but reading in verse 10, Malachi 3 verse 10. There we have the instruction, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now that certainly sounds like he's going to bless us as we give to him, honor him. Now, you will get strong objections to telling someone that part of their increase, part of their income, belongs. Did you hear? It belongs to God.
That's right.
They believe that they earned it and it's theirs. Well, but the Christian shouldn't have that kind of attitude. When I've said this at different times, this next statement, again, you have to let it, in the context of what we read here. Beloved, I'm convinced from these passages, you don't begin to give until you're above that tithe. Because the tithe, it's God's. You're just giving him what already belongs to him. Huh? It was a long time before God opened my understanding to that. It's his. And so we don't really begin to give until we're starting to give beyond the tithe. Well, what's God say? We've seen that he already owns it all. It's all his. So he ought certainly to be allowed to tell us how it should be handled. Is that within God's prerogative? I would surely think so. Well, again, with that then, what belongs to God? Number one, we read here in Malachi that the tithes, notice it says there, plural, tithes. The word tithes itself simply means what? A tenth. That's what it means. A tenth of all our increase is God's. Now, please note, I mean, some might get upset. Well, I don't know, 10%? I actually had a man, an officer in the first church that I pastored, and mentioned this. He got vehement with me in a meeting. I thought, wow. And along the way, he and several others in the church, officers in the church, left the church. I'll be honest, we lost 5 families in 1 weekend. But God was merciful to us, gave us 2 families that same weekend. Interesting. Our offerings never went down. What's that tell you? Huh? Those old mossy-backed deacons that we had before weren't even given to the Lord's work. That's another story. Someone has figured out over the years that the combined tithes that were prescribed in the Old Testament were approximately 23%. So when the preacher's talking about one tithe, you're going to say, I'm glad he's not going there. I have heard the argument along the way, and you probably have too, possibly. Well, the tithe was under the law of Moses. That just does not apply in this age of grace. I've heard that a few times over the years. Well, I would point those who want to say that, want to claim that, to what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the tithe. He's addressing the scribes and the Pharisees at one point in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 3, and there in verses 23 and verse 24. Oh my, he was scathing with them. Well, this is just one of the points he makes to those hypocrites. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Again, the Lord Jesus Christ using hyperbole there to emphasize how foolish they were. In their hypocrisy, the scribes and Pharisees were extremely legalistic in their tithing. They would count down their tithe of their mint to the very leaf. If they had 10 leaves of mint, they gave one. That's what he's saying. But they were lax. They let those important issues of judgment and mercy and faith slide. Jesus says to them, you've omitted those. He says, now you need to take care of this other. You need to take care of your tithe. But you're omitting such important things. And so we need to receive that as well. Some dear people will figure their tithe down to the penny. Down to the penny. They can't even be generous enough to round. Before I was a pastor, I was a church treasurer for a number of years. And one of my responsibilities was to record, for the record's sakes, the giving of the folks in the church. And literally, I kid you not, there were folks whose tithe would be down to the penny. They couldn't even round up to the next dollar for the Lord. We can be very legalistic as well if we're not careful. Now, we agree that the tithe was required under the law of Moses. Yes, indeed. Well, what about grace? What about in grace? Shouldn't what we do under grace exceed what we would do under the law? In under grace, shouldn't we go beyond what is required of us? Again, well, we see offerings as well are mentioned. The tithes and offerings. This was over and above what was required. They were what was called the free will offerings. And those were given simply out of love, out of generosity, and out of appreciation to God for his blessing, for what he had done for. Right here at Metropolitan, our missions program is just one opportunity for us to, by faith, express our love for God and to take the gospel to the world, to the very world. Well, still in Malachi chapter 3, what does robbing God result in? What does robbing God result in? Well, in Malachi chapter 3, the two verses before what we read a moment ago, Malachi 3 verses 8 and 9, Malachi asks the question of the folks there in Jerusalem. Now, Malachi wrote after the children of Israel were permitted to leave Babylon and go back to resettle in Jerusalem, rebuild the city, rebuild the temple. And Malachi asks them this question. He says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? They didn't believe him. What do you mean we robbed God? Wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And for that, Malachi, through the Holy Spirit, goes on to say, ye are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Wow. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? Sounds pretty serious. Some folks wonder at times why they're having financial problems. There's been times I've sat in my office and trying to work through issues with folks that they're struggling with, and I'll ask them, are you tithing? Well, no. Start tithing. You'll see God bless. You'll see God bless. Could it be? So often is the case. They're failing to give God what belongs to Him. And so God, what's happening? God withholds His blessing. Each of us have to examine our giving for ourselves, the purpose in our own heart, as Paul wrote. But could it be we're missing His blessing? And in this message here, we're just trying to lay down principles. Now, we're not trying to paint everyone and every situation with the same broad brush. I'm just laying out what the Bible says and let the Holy Spirit, He does a lot better job than I can, let Him do the rest. These are biblical principles that you need to apply to our lives. And with that then, what does robbing God result in? It'll result in the loss of blessing. The loss of blessing. What did we read as we began? I'll put it in Turner paraphrase. Stingy givers will be blessed, and I don't even know if this is a word. Stingy givers will be blessed stingily. Paul uses again an agricultural truth to make his point. What we read? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. What we write? What did he write to the church at Corinth? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Then he goes on. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful. You know what the word cheerful means? Happy. Happy. A happy giver. When we're passing the plate around, everybody should have a big smile on their face because of the great blessing it is to be able to give. We're all cheerful givers, right? I sit on this platform and I watch sometimes, and it looks like that guy's trying to pinch that quarter, that nickel to the buffalo bellows. Paul applies our giving laws of sowing and reaping. Simple question. You that planted your garden this spring, how many beans did you want from your garden this summer? Well, you sow what? You sow according to the harvest you want. Now, I didn't plant any beans this year, but I used to put in a real garden. I'd load that. Seed's cheap. I'd put that seed in there because I knew that as I planted it, and it, some of it wasn't going to germinate. Some of the seed wasn't going to germinate. Some of that seed the birds were going to get. And some of it would come up and grow and blossom and produce fruit. So I put it to it. I wanted a good harvest. I'd love to see my daughters snapping green beans. They love to do that. Just ask your mama that, Josie. Do you need God's blessing? Do you want God's blessing, that blessing of His provision, then we need to sow bountifully to Him. To Him. Can you trust God with your wallet? Sure you can. You trust Him with your eternity. Surely you can trust Him with your wallet. Well, look at this. There's loss as well. Loss in the Lord's ministry when we don't do right in this area. Now, studying this subject, I wasn't expecting to find this. But it's something I came across in preparing these messages. Be mindful. We mentioned Malachi. He was what we call a post-exilate or after the exile prophet. Well, he lived. He was a contemporary of Nehemiah. And Malachi and Nehemiah then lived at the same time. It's interesting that we read in Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah 13 verses 10 through 12. We find out there the result of robbing God. What is the result of robbing from God? Now listen to this. Nehemiah 13, beginning in verse 10. Nehemiah writing here. He says, "And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place." Interesting. What does that mean? He set them right. Nehemiah, the governor, set them right. "Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil under the treasuries." What had happened? Folks weren't given. They weren't giving that which had been prescribed under the law of Moses to take care of the priesthood. And so what happened? The priests had to leave their work in the temple and go to the fields so that they could feed their families. God's people weren't giving as God had instructed them. Beloved, it's a curse. Part of the curse that the scripture mentions when God's men have to support themselves. At times, that's necessary. That's necessary. Yes, and any real man of God has no problem working a secular job when that's needed. In a new work or a small church, that's not a problem. But that does not change the biblical principle. The biblical principle is that God's man should be supported by God's people. Yeah. Simple. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the scriptures obviously support this. The Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, in verse 7. We see this. I say this all the time concerning folks in our church that might do a service. That what did Jesus say? The laborer is worthy, or the idea, deserving of his hire. The laborer is worthy of his hire. The Apostle Paul taught a very similar principle, but specifically to the ministry of the Word of God. Still in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14, notice what he says. He says, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Paul used that statement with the Corinthians to exhort them to do right concerning their support of the ministry. And it's interesting. While Paul was there in Corinth, he supported himself and helped support those who were working with him. But again, did not change the principle that God's man should live, be supported by God's people. So we see here that there is a potential for a twofold curse, or might we just say loss. a loss for God's people, a loss of blessing when we don't do right in the area of our giving, our tithes and offerings. In that, we'll see for ourselves a loss of material and a loss of spiritual blessing. When the priest had to go to the fields and work, God's house was abandoned. They weren't there to minister before the Lord for the people. Well, moving to another area here. A question in our day, in the height of the TV and radio preachers that are always clamoring for folks to send them their money. Where do the tithes belong? Where do the tithes belong? We read from Malachi, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Well, what's that? Well, in the Old Testament economy, that would have been the temple. And the New Testament economy is the local church. It's the local church. In Paul's letters to the Corinthians, he was giving direction, instruction concerning a special love offering. There in both of those letters, he refers to this special love offering that was being collected to help the believers, the Christians in Jerusalem, who were under great persecution. And they were suffering. And the churches were receiving offerings to send to help them out, to give them aid. In 1 Corinthians 16, we read this. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Notice what Paul writes here. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, referring to the saints in Jerusalem, the believers in Jerusalem. He says, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. What's he saying? As I instructed the churches in Galatia, you folks in Corinth, the church of Corinth needs to do the same thing. And what's he tell them in verse 2? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. As God has given him increase. That there be no gatherings when I come. Now again, we read a little bit ago how Paul wanted that offering taken care of. He wanted it to be received. He said, don't give grudgingly or of necessity. Don't wait until you're till we're under the gun. What's the best thing? Give regularly. Give regularly. Now, again, this special offering, as we've seen, was being gathered by the churches of Galatia. And Paul instructs the Corinthian church to do what? Do the same thing. Do the same thing. Those churches then were responsible to get that offering to the saints at Jerusalem. They had that responsibility. It's my conviction. I'm very careful how I use certain words. I distinguish between a conviction and a preference. There's some things I would prefer. There's some things that I feel a biblical conviction over. It's my conviction that everything I give goes through my church. Why? Because it appears that's the way God put it together. It's the way God put it together. I want to do things God's way because I need His blessing. I'll be honest, I need God's blessing, don't you? I've been talking too much today. I don't want to sidestep. I don't want to circumvent His process, the way He put things together. Where do the tithes belong? Well, they belong to God, and He disperses that through the local church. Well, trying to move along here. Give bountifully to expect. Give bountifully to expect God to bountifully bless. That's a mouthful. What's the result then of faithful, generous giving? God's generous blessing. You sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. So then, obeying the Lord, as we see the scriptures teach, in this area of our giving, will bring God's blessing upon our labor. Our labor. Again, remember what we read in Malachi. We'll read it again. In Malachi chapter 3, where we have the instruction, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be, and again, there's another word. All the tithes are to go where? To the storehouse. That's where my giving is supposed to go. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. What's God saying? Test me. Test me. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Wow, that sounds amazing. He goes on in verse 11 and says, I will rebuke, again, where he's talking to an agriculture society, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. Saith the Lord of hosts. What's the point? He's laying his name on this. He's giving his name, his word on this. And the result, verse 12, I thought this was interesting. And all nations, you see, when we do right with our giving, it's a testimony to the world. Because God's house will be taken care of. God's work will prosper. All nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Amazing. You may be sitting there thinking, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. Again, you trusted God with your eternity. You trust Him with your life. You can't trust Him with your wallet. How do we do it? You do it in faith. You do it in faith. What's that mean? You just trust God. It's neither here nor there, but personally, I'd signed up with the online giving a long time ago, a couple years ago, and whether I'm busy on Sunday morning, whether I'm out of town, whether regardless of what's going on, my tithe and offerings go in. They go to the Lord automatically. When I was still writing checks, the first check I wrote when I got my paycheck on Friday was my tithe. I didn't wait till, I don't know if I have enough. No, it was the first check I wrote. Because God blesses. Because God's going to bless. Do it in faith. Testing. He invites you to testing. Prove me, he says. Well, generous giving will see God generously giving in return. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. This is beautiful. Listen. He said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Notice how he starts. Give. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Shall men give unto your bosom. For with us, here's that same principle the Apostle Paul made. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured again to you. Measured to you again, excuse me. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You give generously, you'll receive generously. Many folks don't think they can afford to tithe. I can't afford to do that, preacher. And I know, you've heard this, I know it sounds trite, but doesn't change the fact that it's absolutely true. If you're a Christian, you can't afford not to tithe. Can't afford not to tithe. That is, if you want His blessing. We're almost done. Last point But then we've got to make a few conclusions here. Joyous, bountiful giving will see God return a bountiful blessing. We read already as we began this message from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me read it once again. Verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, every single one of us, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful or happy giver. But he goes on. Verse 8 says this, and God is able. Do we believe that? God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it interesting that God ties this to our giving, to how generous or not generous we are? Verse 9 says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, as I read that, those verses, I think we see what we saw earlier, that there's both material and spiritual blessings when we give generously to the Lord's work. He'll pour out his grace in our lives. And what is his giving to us but his grace? His abundant grace and his blessing. Well, in conclusion, I've been pastor here at Metropolitan for well over 10 years now. And I don't think, as I try to remember back over the last few days, that I've preached more than maybe 3 or 4 times on giving in those whole 10 years. Preaching a message like this evening on giving. I guess there's something, I just don't want to sound like one of those money preachers. Don't want to give that impression. Now, I'm at fault in that area because I want God to bless you. And I know he'll bless you as you're generous with him. So forgive me about that. I know from the Word of God, and we scratched the surface this evening, and from experience, God's word plus experience. What did Malachi say? God said through Malachi, prove me, test me, and see if I don't bless. That when you obey God, when you obey the Lord in this area of giving, he will bless you. He'll bless you. I read the story of a missionary by the name of Henry Jessup. He was a missionary in Syria. And he was back in the States raising money for the work in his field. And he had received a very generous offering from a businessman in Philadelphia. Then the businessman requested that he would call on a friend of his. Would you go see this friend of mine? He thought that this friend, a lady, that she would give toward the missionary's need, that burden that he had. So Mr. Jessup, he found the address to be on the top floor of a tenement, what we might call today low-income housing, Section 8 housing. Mr. Jessup found there an elderly lady. There she was in her little apartment, and she was putting the bristles into scrub brushes. That's how she made a living. Taking those bristles however they did it, forcing them into the wooden backs, making scrub brushes. Well, Mr. Jessup sat down, and she eagerly listened to all about the ministry there in Syria. And afterward, after he finished, She went to fetch a bag, one of two bags that were hanging over on the wall. She told him, she says, this is the Lord's treasury. She says, after I've met my needs, the rest goes in here. She says, Mr. Jessup, whatever's in this bag is yours for the work. She joyfully counted out 37 cents as the tears ran down Mr. Jessup's face. Everywhere he went from that night on, he couldn't help but tell folks about that dear lady. Up there in her apartment, making scrub brushes and giving to the Lord's work. He went across the country telling folks and churches about that dear lady. And in response to that, thousands of dollars were given to meet the need and beyond through the testimony of that lady's generosity. Question, do we give from beyond our needs, or do we give from what is left over after our wants? The story that I read about this dear lady, doesn't that sound a lot like that lady that the Lord Jesus Christ pointed out in the temple? You're familiar with the story. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, it says this. Jesus is there in the temple. And it says, and he looked up, and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites, maybe equivalent of the 37 cents. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Question for us. Question might be. And I've thought about this so many times over the years. Do we give out of our wealth or according to our wealth? Isn't there a difference? It's easy to drop a few bucks in here or there. But are we giving according as God has blessed us? What did Jesus say? Where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And where our heart is where we'll be prone to give. God owns your heart. If your heart's right with the Lord, the things of God, the local church ministry, the needs of others, the work of the gospel to the far corners of this earth planet will be a burden of your heart. God will put that burden on your heart because it's His burden. It's His burden. You'll not only give, you'll give generously. And as we read, you'll give cheerfully. You'll be thrilled to be a part of that. You'll be thrilled to be a part of what God's doing. Through your church, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Trying to decide how to wind this up. If you're saved, beloved, if you're saved, you want God's blessing on your life. Isn't that right? You want. No, you need. Yes, we should want it. But we desperately need God's blessing. And the things that we've been dealing with tonight and even the weeks before, or things that we should all want to incorporate into our lives. In so many ways, they're just a mirror where we can examine ourselves. And that'll include given rightly, given joyously to the work of God. Amen? Let's stand together. Just a question. Are we giving in a way that God can bountifully bless us? Father, we bow before you tonight. And I thank you this evening for your abundant blessings. So thankful, Lord, that you do for us. So often, you do for us in spite of us. And so, Lord, I'm praying this evening, even in this matter of our giving to your work, please, Lord, help us to assimilate these principles. We looked at a lot of things from your word tonight, Lord. I'm asking you, help these things to work, not just in our minds, but in our very hearts. That it would be the joy of our lives, the joy of our very beings, to be part of what you're doing. Well, Father, give us joyful, cheerful, giving hearts. And we will indeed give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother DJ.
Sermon number 39, take my life and let it be.
Amen. Amen. As we sing, pray the Lord to just allow these things to soak in. A little bit of divine osmosis this evening. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love.
Preacher preaches on giving, some folks will go out the door saying, well, that preacher's gone to meddling now. Well, I'll meddle then. That's okay, because I want God's blessing. Amen. Blessing for you all. Amen? Amen. Brother DJ, come please.
Our chorus for the month is Wonderful, Wonderful Jesus Is to Me.